Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering
Hallelujah. We give him all the glory. We give him all the honor. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. For he has done great things for us. We praise the Lord. We just worship and praise him this morning, this January 1st, 2021. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty. Mm-hmm. As they said, through many storms and dangers, we have come. But God has delivered us from them all. We just worship him this morning. We want to just take a little time to praise and worship the God of our salvation, our Redeemer, our Protector, our King. We thank him that all that we've done, all that has been done to us, all of the challenges around us, everything, he has always been in control, and he has cared very faithfully for his children. And so I'm going to read to you Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone does great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. For him who made the heaven with skill, and for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. We thank and we praise God, for his loving kindness is forever. We thank him for his loving kindness is forever. For his, he who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew the Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote great kings, for his loving kindness is everlasting, and slew mighty kings, for his loving kindness is forever. We thank and we praise God, for his loving kindness is forever. Just as it was to the children of Israel, it has been for us as well. We remember he who remembered us in our lower state, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He led us through our deserts, and he allowed the Red Sea to part, the Red Sea of 2020, and we crossed over, hallelujah, to 2021. There are many that did not, and there are those that did, and they come in pain and in heartbreak and in grief and in despair. But we've come. We've come, and we give great grace, and we give praise and worship to the Lord God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever, and his loving kindness is everlasting. And so we just thank God, we worship him, not just, we come, bow down before him as we enter this new year of 2021, and there is a word from the Lord, hallelujah. We receive the word of prophetic upon the ministry, and so we're going to read it today. You're getting a preview. What do they say? This is the premiere of the word being released in 2021 that the prophet has released for Laborers for Christ Word Life Center, and so we're going to share that with you this morning, so that you can know that there is a word from heaven. We thank God for his faithfulness and that his mercy endures forever. Here we go. That word of, okay. Yeah, here we go. You gonna do it? 2021, there we go. Prophetic word. Overseer, would you like to read it for us? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, here you go. Overseer of prophetic worship. Marta.
2020 prophetic declaration. Prophetic declaration. Greetings and Happy New Year. LSP is extremely excited about this new year. We have declared 2021 as the year of prophetic possibilities. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. Mark 9:23 from the GW version. We declare you will pivot and enter the season of new realms of belief. We believe God has ordained this year as the year of intimate encounters. You have been given a personal invite to come up here. I heard the strong voice out of heaven calling, come up here. And up they went to heaven, wrapped in a cloud, their enemies watching all over. Revelation 11:12 from the Message version. We declare 2021, your enemies will see God do impossible for you as you live in relationship of in the relationship of possibility. We speak over your life and decree a transitional shift is coming. God is moving you into a new sphere of faith. God will open the eyes of your heart and you will see all that you have you were created to be. We speak to the dream chasers and to the visionaries and to declare nothing will be impossible for you as you believe. We decree power, authority, power, and faith is moving towards your direction, and God has released you into another sphere of influence. We declare you will climb up the mountain, you will climb to the top of the mountain and fulfill God's plan. We decree this decade is your prophetic fulfillment decade. You will see God do amazing things in that decade of celebration, creativity, consecration, and cancellation. We speak perfection, harmony, maturation, and divine wisdom over you and your family in 2021. We release the miracles, miraculous over you and your home, and declare, Jesus said, if there is no ifs among believers, anything can happen. Mark 9:23 Message version. We may God use you to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We speak not only a happy new year, but a happy new you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that declaration of the prophetic over the lives of God's people. And I hope that you heard in that prophetic word all of the things, how God has set us up and then included us all in his process. We see that that declaration of wisdom, and our next chapter is the Spirit of Wisdom, part one. This is all very, very timely. It is all very, very divinely inspired and presented to us. We have such a God who loves us so much that he makes sure that we are prepared for all that he is. One of the things he is doing for us and in our lives, and one of the things we want to emphasize is the fact that in this particular chapter, and we're in the one before the Spirit of God upon us, we're at the latter part of that chapter, even though those of us that were here last week got a good dose of a good meal, a powerful meal, and it was a meal that brought forth the revelation of possibility. And so one of the things that the author shares with this for this, it says that he is going to release during the fullness of time, his fullness of time. And when he does this release, he's going to make sure that we are in place in that time that he has marked and chosen. It says, notice that it was, and we're going to talk about them in the at the day of Pentecost. It says when Pentecost had fully come, it was what God had purposed to do. God had picked the day. He knew the time. He knew the place that the Spirit of the Lord was going to come upon those that love him. He knew that. And he gave everybody an invitation. A lot of people were invited, but only those that came receive. He says, but he purposed to release the promise upon the earth, at the fullness of time. It was a place in time that he had marked and he had chosen. And because they were there, they got it, okay? And he didn't send it where they were. He had already had the date. You know how you say, save the date? It was his date. He had already saved it. And he was going to draw people, invite them into a place where they could receive. Overseer, You got excited about something? No, no. Okay. What? Okay. Okay. All right. Some revelation, I guess. Now, folks don't want to share. That's all right. That's all right. But I got really excited about that because so often we get so concerned that we missed it or all these years I haven't and I don't know why. And, you know, sometimes that is nothing but not sometimes. That's nothing but the enemy trying to condemn us. You know, yeah, you should know by now. No, but God said he was going to do this. He is the perfecter. He does line by line, precept upon precept. And so it is going to be in his time that the fullness of time will come when he has drawn us to that place that he already was. Because remember, he's the God of the past, the future, and the present. And so while we're in the present and even in our past, he had already been established our future, and he's the one that's going to draw us to it. So I love this under the Paul received the Spirit that it shared the scripture of Luke 24 and 49 about receiving the power from on high. And it says in Acts 2 and 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. And remember, God already knew that was the day that was going to happen. They were all in one accord in one place because he had drawn them there. He had invited them there, and they had received the invitation. Remember, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you let me in, this is some of the power that's going to come. But then the next thing that sometimes we read over or we say it, and we mean it. It says their hearts were in line with heaven. And so when I read that, it's one of those things you try to read and keep going so you can get to the end of what you're supposed to be knowing for the lesson. And he said, go back. And I read it again. He says, circle heart. Their hearts were in line with heaven. And I thought about that. I said, we often say, you know, we're all on one accord. We all agreeing to the same thing. But that is only the beginning of what that means. It is meaning that we all agreed on the same thing. But now we need to know what that same thing is, that same thing according to God. And so that led me to go back. He said, go back and to the Sermon on the Mount. Get those 33 precepts of the heart. And I'm going to share all 33 this morning and then challenge you because it says their hearts were in harmony with heaven. So in other words, in order for our hearts to be in harmony with heaven, these should be the conditions of our hearts. And like I say, there's 33, and if you have it, go find it. Not right now, but and look at them all this week, all this first week of the new year, so that we can get our hearts in harmony with heaven. And as we went through this list once before, and some of you got different ones of the heart, but I encourage you to go back. This is a time of going back and allowing the Holy Spirit to give us revelation and increase to the seed that has been planted in us. This seed of truth of the 33 precepts of the heart has been planted in us, and we need to make sure we will allow it to be exposed and to grow. It says the first one is a grateful heart, and I'm not going to explain them or anything like that, but I just want you to hear the precepts. And then have the Holy Spirit give you an understanding and an evaluation of where your heart is. The second one is a tender heart, a tender heart, a tamed heart. That's the one really got me. Because you don't think of a wild heart, but the heart in harmony with heaven is tamed, It is tame. It does not seek itself. I'm explaining. I'm going to. A disciplined, hungry heart. A merciful heart. A clean heart. A peaceful heart. An unoffended heart. A sincere heart. An enlightened, consistent heart. A whole heart. A transparent heart. A harmless heart. A heart without aught. A yielded heart. A morally clean heart, a faithful heart, a reverent heart, a non-vengeful heart, a praying heart, an accepting heart, a perfect heart, a heart seeking God's glory only. A forgiving heart, an undivided heart, a believing heart. Oh, I clicked it off, sorry. Believing heart. An unhypocritical heart, a wise heart, a seeking heart, a loving heart, a sold-out heart, a discerning heart, and an obedient heart. When all of those things were present in the heart of those that came forth because God had purified their heart with their belief in what the Lord Jesus did. They were the disciples that walked with him, and he taught them. And they received the teaching. And on the day of Pentecost, that was able to spring forth in the power that then brought over 3,000 new converts into the body of Christ. And that's what we want. That's that power that we are desiring. That is that move that we want to be a part of, that flow that we want to be a part of. But to be a part of it, our position and our condition of our heart have to be in line with God. He will search us, our hearts, and that which is not like him, okay, he will then perfect as we surrender it to him. And so I felt like that is such a crucial part of what we do, okay. And that is knowing the word of God, understanding the word of God, and then embracing and taking it into ourselves and then living according to it, living according to a sold-out heart or a heart that desires only the glory of God, nothing else, only the glory of God. It's undivided. It's not divided between my will and his will and what's right and I think is right and what I think is due and all of those things. It's none of that. It is a heart that is have been perfected by the Father. He's the perfecter of the imperfect. He is the perfecter. And as we look through these 33 precepts and we see the scriptures that are associated with it, and then we also see the scriptures that are associated with what they didn't do. This is how their heart condition became out of line with heaven. And it gives very, very specific examples of the churches in the New Testament of how they were slipping or how they hadn't come to that place. And that precept was then re-established to them with the letters that Paul wrote to the church to bring correction. That is the role of the apostolic leader. That is the role of the apostolic leader, to bring us to a place of understanding what the heaven requires of us in this season and where adjustments need to be made, repentance, really, it's not adjustment, repentance needs to be made, and we need to be able to turn. We get to that all the time. We hear it. If my people, there you go, were called by my name, okay, will humble themselves and pray. And so we see all of these things that he's saying back in the Old Testament. It is the same precept that he gives us in the New Testament in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He tells us what we should look like. How's that? He tells you what you should look like, and then he shows you how it looks, okay? As we look at not each other and not others, but we look at the life of Jesus Christ. You know, all things that have been presented to us apostolically and prophetically in conferences and trainings and teachings and those sorts of things, and it seemed like, oh, that's a nice topic. No, that is a necessary topic. It was a necessary step in our growth and development to understand, to focus our new, this new thinking comes about when we focus it on the role model for that thinking, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can always say, yeah, you know, I've looked to Christ. Look to everything he did, every reaction he had to every situation that came his way. And when we look at it that way, we will see, and oftentimes you say, well, that was Jesus, and he could, and I can't. But he said, I have given you the power of heaven through the impartation of the Holy Spirit in us forever, and he is the one who will bring this perfection to us. And so this visitation, this abiding in the river of the sevenfold Spirit of God is where he was leading us. And we are there. We are there. We can feel the coolness of the flow of the water. If you ever been around water, when it's moving, I don't care how hot it is around you, where that water is moving, there is a cool, refreshing wind that comes from it. I just think it's so amazing. And I was sitting in sanctuary, and I sit by the fountain in the back, and it was comfortable in the church, but I kept getting a chill, though I know I get cold a lot of times, but this was a different kind of chill, because I realized that all around this fountain was degrees cooler than the rest of the church, and it's because of this flowing water, constantly flowing water. And then when you just think about that movement of the water, this is the movement of the Spirit, the sevenfold flow. It is moving. It is purifying the air. When the water goes through the air, it purifies the air. It cools it off and brings it into a perfect ditch, okay? And those that are near, those that are there where that flow is going on, they are refreshed. It is a refreshment. I don't know if you've ever been sick, but you could take a shower or just get washed up, and it's just something about that. It just make you feel better. Sometimes you just want to just linger in there where the water is running or flowing, or you're sitting submerged in it, and it brings such a peace to your soul just being in close proximity to water. And that same thing happens when we get a part of, become a part of that river, unceasing flow of the river of the Holy Spirit, that water of refreshment, that new oil that brings forth fire, a fire that will burn brightly, brightly, brightly. And so it shares the place that it shares with us that when this happens because of this flow, and remember, it's changing the atmosphere as well as the people. They were one way at the day of Pentecost, but after Pentecost, they were quite another. I like it where the author said they went from gift to an open heaven. So they had the gift. As the apostles walked around and did different things, the disciples, they did different things, and they had the gift of the Holy Spirit manifest. But after the day of Pentecost, they had the open heaven. They had all the resources of heaven. It had all of the harmony of heaven was poured out on them because the time had fully come. And so they went from impacting one or a few to impact a great multitude. They were recipients of the great power and the great grace. And this is the grace that we need. It is a part of the anointing. You may have the anointing, but you may not have that great grace for the anointing, because with the anointing comes many, many, many challenges. It becomes, not challenges, just plain old warfare. Much warfare is going to come your way. And to not, to be moved by it, to be unmovable. To be unmovable, you have to be flowing in this river of an open heaven of the sevenfold anointing, and you must have the grace of heaven, the open heaven poured out upon you. So whatever you put your hand to will prosper because you have this open heaven being poured into you. And as it is, it pours into you, and then it pours through you. Because remember, it's a flow. It don't just get to you and stop. It gets to you and kind of builds up more steam. And then it gets to the next person, and it's that flow builds up more steam. Because, we're connected. We're a continuous flow. I love it where it gave us the details of the candlestick. It was one piece of gold that was beaten into the shape and form and function of the candlestick. Just one piece. And it was driven and fueled by that center candlestick pipe. They call it the center pipe, which is the Holy, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then those three, the groupings on each side of the pipe are these wonderful, wonderful spirits of God. The three groupings are the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And all of them were flowing through the Spirit of the Lord because it was resting upon them because they had allowed the Word of God to cleanse and purify their hearts so their hearts would be in harmony with God. And so as this mantle of the Spirit of the Lord rests upon our lives as well, then this open heaven has to follow us everywhere we go. Yes, amen, amen. And so we look in the fact that as this mantle followed them everywhere they go, these thousands of people were born again, many were healed, and they were great signs and wonders were taking place in such a magnitude in the city that the whole city was gripped with, now get this, this is one of the last spirits of the Holy Spirit. They were gripped with the fear of the Lord. They came to reverence the God of heaven because they saw the flow of heaven flowing through these disciples. And that's a part of, I like the scripture in, this is Psalms 40. I'm going to try to get it real quick and read it to you because this is what it looks like on us. Psalms 40 and 3. Okay. And it says, he put a new song in my mouth, and a song of praise to our God. And it says, many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. So until your mouth declares the new thing that the Lord is bringing in the earth realm, until your mouth praises this new thing that the Lord is doing in the earth realm, I don't care what it looks like. It's new, just like this COVID environment. This is new. And yet, he is putting a song in our mouth about this new thing. So our word and our testimony should be bringing knowledge of the God of glory into the people around us that hear us. And then they need to see us praising God in the midst of this. And when they do that, they say, people will see you acting different. They will see you taking what was a bad thing and then ending up showing a powerful thing, a good thing coming from that. And then they will fear. They will fear the God. They will fear the power that's in you. They will fear me. They'll start reverencing that power because you'll be doing a thing that nobody else is doing. You'll be doing something. And, you know, people, they value greatly a person that is able to accomplish something that other people can't accomplish. When you do something that it is not accomplishable with the masses, then you become, as they call, famous, okay? So if you act good or you sing good or you play basketball good, I don't care what it is, you can predict the stock market and you can spend money good and you on TV and you charismatic and people love what you say, you do them something, they then value you. Well, they will value you, but as they value you, it won't be you anymore. What they'll be valuing is the Lord and the Holy Spirit that's in you, because it says that you will die daily and that it won't be you, but it will be Christ who is living through you. His character will then start manifesting itself in your life, in your conversation, in your actions, in your thinking, and in your motivation, and it will be pure and sincere. That's one of the most powerful drawing tools that Christians have, is a sincere heart. People believe you when you're just sincere. If you're a sinner, if you talk to them sincerely and share transparently about yourself, it will cause them to see through you because of your transparency. They will see God. They will see God. And then they will see what they never knew was possible. That's how we live in the thing. They ain't gonna never, they will always, The possibilities is if you do, they will. You remember that movie they say, if you build it, they will come? Well, if you allow him to build you, they will be drawn to him through you. And so a lot of what we see and we pray about and we are concerned about is because we haven't come to our heart in harmony with heaven. And so we have to look at that non-hypocritical heart, non-judgmental heart, yielded heart. It is so hard to yield. And I think that's why the people of God, God, Holy Spirit has put in our mouth, if my people will humble themselves. That means yield themselves to my truth. Yield themselves to my way, to my plan. If they will just come, yield, if they will humble themselves, realize they have no good thing in them, that they are filthy rags, you don't bring nothing to the table, it ain't nothing about you that you do, think, or say that gives you worth. It's only what happens on the cross that gives you worth, that gives you value. And it didn't happen on the cross. It happened before the foundations of the world, because God loved us and God chose us. We hadn't done anything. We weren't even an egg yet. We weren't a sperm. We was a nothing. And yet he chose us. And he not just only chose us, he laid out a plan in our DNA for our life. And that's what the devil has been trying to destroy our destiny ever since the garden. And so we want to surrender and yield, humble ourselves, and in praying, turning to him. And we all know that scripture. We've heard it taught and preached and sung and recited and declared. And we need to go back and get the revelation, a new level of revelation about that scripture, because it clearly says in the end, the condition of the world is conditional upon you, because we are in the world, because we are to bring to the world the light of Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit upon us brings that character of the Lord Jesus Christ into our conversation, into our heart, into our thinking, into our actions, into the most important part, into our motivation. That those characters of Jesus Christ is what should motivate us to do that which heaven requires, which heaven desires, not and requires. He just desires it. Because if he required it of us, trust me, to make us do it. But we want to look at the fact that he shared at the end of the chapter as it relates to Peter went on to say, but also for every reason, also for this very reason, given all diligence. So he's saying this is the reason we do what we do. This is the reason that the things that happen to us, this is what it builds in us. It brings to us. And so it gives us even a process of really what to expect. But in order to know what to expect and what it's going to look like, you have to understand what these words are that he uses. When he says, given all diligence, what is given all diligence? That's a heart sold out for God. You can look at the scripture. All of this are heart conditions. It says, and add to your faith virtue. Virtue is the character of Jesus Christ. You add it, you believe it. Now let that character be established in you. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. So you can see the fruit of the Spirit are manifest. They are developed. They start to flow. And when this happens, it says, it lets you know, we're always contending, contending, contending. It says, do you know why? It's because God is concerned about our character. He's not going to stop till our character brings him glory. So God wants to reveal his glory through your life. He can't believe. He cannot reveal his glory through our life if our character is our own and it is not that of Jesus Christ. He will only reveal his glory through those who have the characteristics of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean just a touch of glory. No, the glory is him. It is his presence. It is who he is, the weightiness of God. He wants to demonstrate glory through us as we come into union with the character of Jesus Christ, with his nature and with his power by the enabling of the Holy Spirit. This is not just a suggestion of what we're to do, but this is what that God says. This is how he is going to do it, and it's all worth it. No matter all the pressures or the hammering, all of the change, all of the transition, all of the internal things that are taking place within us, they're worth it. Whether it's sickness, whether it's want and lack, whether it's loneliness, no matter what it is, whether it's pain, Okay, even the holy fear, because fear is the beginning of wisdom. Embrace all, because he is worth it. The bottom line is he has given us a mandate. We no longer have to look to those giants in the religious world, the Benny Hinn's and the T.D. Jakes and the, I don't know, all of the people that name, I don't know. You don't have to look to say, oh, they got a mandate on life. You have a mandate on your life. It is your mandate. God wants to manifest in our life as it is in heaven upon earth. So stop saying the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it's on earth, it's in me. I'm the earth. I'm the dirt. Your will be done. Your character be perfected within me. Your nature be perfected in me. Your power being released to me so that as the Holy Spirit flows, I can flow as well and take it everywhere that you have assigned me to have influence in. That's one of the mandates of this 2021 declaration. He says he's given us new places of influence, new places of influence. So you're going from the one to the multitude as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring his character, the character of Jesus Christ, and we embrace it, we're embracing the work of the Holy Spirit, loving it, treasuring it, and being so convinced of it that it is worth it. It is all worth it. And no matter what it is, we are not going to whine and complain. We're not going to be downcast about it because we have to have a mouth of praise, to have a mouth of praise. And we have to have a new song. That's where I used to be, but this is how I am now. And when you change like that, people see that and go, oh, what you do? You get a new hairstyle. Oh, well, you look different. You know, oh, I got new hair. Oh, I lost weight. All right. But there was a change. There was a change, and people will notice that change. And so as you sing this new song, a song of praise, a song of worship, and a song of testimony to the power of God, through all situations, and not just to the power of God, but through the fact that you feel it's worth it, that all this trouble, it's worth it. You know, count it all joy when you fall into dire temptation. Christ, for the joy of the cross, he endured it. There was a joy because it was worth giving heaven his body so that the Lord's will would be done on earth through him. And so it says the Holy, he wants to demonstrate his nature, his power, and his character through the Holy Spirit upon us. If, as Peter sat in the garden after he had denied Christ three times, he probably felt it was an impossibility for him to then become this man of God that's revealed in the book of Acts. This would not have felt that he was worthy. There's no way it's going to happen. He didn't know that the open heaven was waiting on him. And at his lowest moment, we should press more toward the mark. Paul has said he does not, that's in the other book, consider himself to have arrived. But he presses toward the mark, the future. He's pressing toward the place that the whole open heaven is waiting for him because he believes in God. And so the author wants to encourage us that we're going to become a daily partaker of his. And remember, we are going to become a daily partaker of this very divine nature, just like Peter. He says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, in the end when we go to heaven, but right now, for an entrance will be supplied. He has, who's the entrance? He has opened the door. Christ, he is our entrance into an abundance supply, never-ending supply. This is what the Holy Spirit has given us, a never-ending supply of fresh oil so that we are empowered in passion to do that which the Lord, our destiny is in our DNA. The Lord wants to give us a place where we begin to operate out of a continuous manifestation of what happens in heaven. So the kind of stuff that happened in heaven is going to continually happen everywhere we go. Why? Because we are under this open heaven. Why are we there? Because he drew us there. He had prepared it. He had given us the Holy Spirit, which is the power to connect us to heaven. And that's the kind of realm. Remember in the prophetic word, and it's interesting because prophet doesn't do this book, but in the prophetic word, he says new realms of belief. We're going to believe some stuff now. This is a new level. Not that we didn't believe before, but this is a new level of belief, the impossible belief. And we always said, you know, we know with God all things are possible because he's just power. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He can do it all. But we never really embrace the fact that he's doing it for us, that he will do the impossible for me and for you. And so that impossible is a personal thing. It is a personal thing, and yet it's a kingdom thing because it is going to be true for all of us, not just the great religious giants, okay, but for the little Timothys, and I mean the young Timothys, and I'm trying to think of a kid's name, JJ, and Isaiah, and the little boys, your kids, what's the name? Gracian and Alexander, okay, it's true for them, as well as the old people, you know, Pastor Connie, Overseer Paula, Pastor Diane, the older people, I will say the old people, but the older people, okay, the elder Roberta's and all of the the saints, young, old, and those that are in midlife places, that power is true for us. And that realm is where we need to be in this year because it's going to affect those that we have been given influence over. And so there's those that the little ones have to influence, the older ones influence, the older influence, the women influence, the men influence. You know, it is an influential place of power that he is placing us in. And he's not even positioning us. He positioned us under the open heaven. That's where we position. But now he's going to place us in places that he needs the open heaven to be revealed in. And it will be revealed in through that which we do. So at this point, we want to open the lines and hear from you, hear your sharing, your revelation, your praise, your concerns, your insight. In this place that we're in, before we go into seeking the wisdom of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit being upon us, and then walking in this new place of wisdom like we've never had before, we never knew before, because it has to be appropriate for the time. So there's things that were wise in 1920, and they things changed that wisdom for 1960. And now there's the wisdom that needs to happen for 2020 and 21. It's a different environment. So I don't mean it's a different wisdom, but it's a different level of wisdom, and it has to be given moment by moment through our intimate connection and position in the presence and the glory of God. So, the lines are open. Blessed New Year.
Overseer, I had something that you were talking about. Even we know the Holy Spirit is all power, and I love it to talk about him. But when you read it may have been Overseer Marlin, where would this say a people of God, if is a condition, and if we take it out, we it's been a habit that we always say if this, if that, cause, and you know, I think about what I hear from God now. It's like the Bible says, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
When we just do what he tells us to do, it becomes so much easier. And that's when that joy just takes over. He's just an awesome father. And the relationship that he wants us to have with his people, when we obey him, it's already done. Even coming to hear, him through you. I remember he told me that last year when I was calling you regular. But he put people in places that we can hear him more clearly when we just listen. And his word is the truth. And then we know that it's the truth that what sets us free. So now we're free. There's no if when we're free. As Peter and Paul, when they got it, they were slaves. Paul said, I'm a slave for Jesus. So slaves didn't ask questions. They just obeyed the master. And I was going to say, we seasoned. And, you know, when you seasoned to that perfect taste that you want to be seasoned, then you're ready. And I thank God because I've always known and loved God, but I had to get that whole heart where it was clean. And it's like what a movie say with Hosea and Gomer, when Hosea fell in love with Gomer, in spite of no matter what he had went through with, he found out even though the children weren't his, he still loved her. So when God clean us to his perfection, he said, now I can use you. Because we have to get all of that, what I want. At least I did.
Mm-hmm.
And now it doesn't matter what I want. It's what God wants and how he wants to use his creation, which that is me, his miracle, which that is me. And I see myself in a different perspective, knowing that when we do answer the call, that it's not about us. It's all about him. No big eyes, no little use. Just do what he told you to do. And then we are coming into that place where we will be all on one accord, just like the day of Pentecost. I just thank him.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Overseer, good morning.
Yeah,
and thank you. I truly thank God. As he was speaking, I kept asking as the new year came on, what this looked like, Lord, and where I need to be. And when you were speaking on the heart, and he said, go back and circle the heart and what was in line with the heart. And you went back to the Sermon on the Mount and the 33 precepts of the heart. And he brought me back to, I've been going back to the book, Victory Over the Self-Centered Life, and with Paul Guerin. And that book, on page 75, it was stating about enemies we must drive out. And it was dealing with a lot of different things, and I won't name, but it was just whether it was anxiety or loneliness or anger or frustration, whatever it was, a deceit, a lying, or whatever. It was stating that the promises of God, and when you went to the Sermon on the Mount, it's like all that go hand in hand. And you went through every one of them, whether it's tender heart or pain or whatever. And I said, wow. And also with the book of the search for significant that we were going through. And it was like he was putting it all together to say, continue to stay in the lane in which I'm, you know, and just take it as Apostle had did that ministry. But it just spoke volumes. Sometimes you feel like, am I getting it? You know, Lord, I just want the more of you. And he said it's a day by day, moment by moment, and it's a process. And sometimes we want to see the big picture, but he's working it out one minute, 1 second, one moment at a time. And it's okay. And you just stay. Sometimes we want to rush through it. And he might have you on one thing for over a month. You know what I mean? And so I just thank God for what he's doing in this season. And it's not about me anymore. It's all about him. And to get it right, it's a new year to begin and to walk in it. And don't worry about what you messed up and stay. I think it used to be so much guilt, shame, and condemnation there. And you couldn't get past knowing that you were full of treason and loving and acceptable in him. And it's not about nobody else but him. And I just thank God for what he's doing in this season of all of our lives. But I'm making it personal, just learning how to love him in spite of and trust him in the process. And with the Sermon on the Mount, as we study it, it's going to bring back, and with the Pride book, you know, so much to be victorious over. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for sharing. Amen.
I got one other question over to you, because we say it all the time. When we say, we quote 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people, you know, he tells us to pray, turn from, he was talking to Israel back then. But we have heard from heaven. He said, I've given you all. And we still saying the same thing as if we didn't hear from heaven. And I was listening to you today when you said, even before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was slain. So we know that God, everything God said is true. And we as the people of God, when we receive that the land has been healed and we have been healed, and we're the redeemed, and the redeemed of the Lord's faithful. And we keep telling a dying world, the non-believers, what God has done. And we're excited about it. Oh, and that's when the people look at you, and we become the peculiar people that we are. And then those that God has pricked their heart, they'll come saying, what can I do? No, one young lady say, "Would the same God that does for you, will he do the same thing for me?" And then you will be able to look at them and yes, just tell them yes. God treats everybody the same, and they want the Almighty God to be their Father. They're looking for that love and that kindness. If we keep saying, if we do this, he's given us this Holy Ghost power that we're studying about. I gave it to you. Don't you trust me? That was last year when I was really, really seeking in classes, coming to classes. We were in class 4 days a week. And the Lord said, trust me. Because I didn't know if I could make it. He said, trust me. Trust me my way. Because I was trusting him my way, but the Lord said trust him his way. And when I began to really trust in God, and one reason was I was driving all the way out there to get to school when we was on 103rd, and I didn't know it was going to change to this blog talk, and we having classes on the line, but I trusted him. And he made that way. He said, I'm going to show you who I am. And then when we went through those six P's, he said, now I'm going to show you who you are. And then when we learn who we really are in Christ, he just let the people know the land has been healed. Let them know I've done all I can. And then when Jesus said, it's finished. All we got to do now is just walk in what he said. And I just say, hallelujah, because it is finished.
That's the highest praise. Praise God, praise God. Absolutely. Acknowledging him and his work in our life is a good step towards spiritual growth and development. To be able to see what God has done in us. And then to understand how that should motivate us into love that will bring obedience. And then obedience doesn't become a burden. It just becomes a joy because of the love we have for him. And desiring always to be in his presence, and because his in his presence, there is a power that is over and above whatever little power we may think we have. And so in his presence is a purifying place. And as long as we dwell there, his process of precept upon precept and line upon line will perfect us as we walk in the place of influence that he has destined us to do. So thank you for your insights and your revelation and your transparency, and the word of your testimony is a powerful thing, and it encourages other people, pulling together all the things that God has planted in us, allowing the Holy Spirit. He's one of the things, first things that I remember them saying the Holy Spirit would do was to bring back to your remembrance. And I thought, wow, if I forget something, he'll tell me what it is I forgot. Okay, but I realize now that it was a much higher level than what I thought at that time. But everything that's been planted, every seed that's been planted, he is nurturing it with heaven's truth, with the water of the seven flow of the well. He is watering it, and it is growing, and it is developing. Anybody else? Praise the Lord for your presence this morning. Take your time out.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say that, you know, in reading this book, and then that I like to hear you teach, because you just look like you just found so many nuggets that I would never think about that didn't even come to my mind while reading. But in reading it, I'm just going back to, and I see the words, you know, manifestation and maturation, you know, all of these things that he's bringing out and talking about. You know, when we had the retreat, you know, a manifestation and maturation, and he's saying that, you know, this anointing and fresh oil and so forth and on, God is going to begin to manifest, and we're going to begin to mature more in him. So that's what I see in reading, you know, this book.
Amen. That is great. You know, while you were speaking, Elder, I recall the retreat where, you know, and we've heard it, we said it, you know, and yet apostolically is brought before us when we were, what are we doing? We were squeezing the oil ourselves, you know, actually getting into the physical process, how impactful that is, so that when you hear it, you have that frame of reference, so you understand it's laborious. You know, you don't just bam, bam, and there you go. No. You know, there is a labor in that. It is. And it is a powerful, worshipful, and a labor that makes you excited. While we were doing it, we were excited to see and to get our oil and put our own oil in our own bottle, okay? It's such a, such a way of allowing the joy of this journey, okay? It's just bringing it into our view. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you for helping us remember.
Good morning, Elsie. Yeah.
Good morning, Elsie.
Happy New Year, everybody on the line. What you just said to me lines perfectly up with one of the, I guess, quotes in the book when it says that, you know, you've got to understand that what you've been going through in your Christian walk is bringing you into this union with Christ so that we get to the point where it's not I, but Christ who lives in us. And he quotes that 2 Peter 1:5-7 that says, but Peter went on to say, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And when you look at those, to me, when you parlay that with those 33 heart conditions, you know, it says this is what it looks like, boots on the ground. And the first one, when you were saying that earlier, that caught my attention was discernment, and I don't have it up right in front of me, but basically it was saying the discernment happens when you see the fruit of the Spirit in someone's life. I'm like, my goodness, you know, because we've been doing that whole abiding fruit of the Spirit, 33 heart condition, I don't know, for the last half a decade, and so I think it was Minister Peck that was on that was talking about kind of like a synergy, how everything seems to be coming together, you know, as she sees, you know, as she's reading and studying, and that is just the beauty of the word that we can see how everything is interrelated, how, you know, one thing confirms something else. Sometimes we don't, well, all times, and I think it's just designed that as we grow and we can handle some of the revelations that are there, but always understanding that it's nothing that's being withheld. Everything is there. It's just when we align ourselves, like you said, when we align ourselves in our hearts with what God's word is, and it's demonstrated in our obedience, then those signs and wonders become what's manifest in our lives, because it's kind of like it's no secret formula. It's just a matter of doing what the word says. You know, there is no private interpretation and no, you know, nothing that he's done that trip us up with, you know, getting the desires of our heart, you know, in line with the heart of God. But, it's a marvelous journey, the whole idea of the year of possibilities, just, you know, it's been a very subtle for me slide into the new year, and it's like, thanks be unto God. And even all of the testimonies today, to me, were very reflective and insightful. You know, and intensive. And that's a good thing, you know. like you said, from glory to glory, precept to precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. Anyway, to God be the glory. God bless you all. You know, to God be the glory. In other words, that God wants to reveal his glory through our lives. That sentence.
Yes.
And that was the whole sentence, that God wants to reveal his glory through our lives. To me, that was just awesome. Lines right up with that Mark 9.
Yes, it does. It's interesting, too, as you were sharing, and the one there was about a discerning heart. And one of the things that the author gives us as it relates to that is the fact that this discerning heart, and it says you'll know them by their fruit, but it says by wisdom you will know them by their fruit. And when I saw that, and we're going into the spirit of wisdom, which is a very, oh my God, it is so powerful. And understanding that we read that and we go, you know, I look, oh, I don't see the fruit. So, you know, they not this, that, and the other. But he said, by wisdom you'll discern the fruit. Not by your own thinking, not by your own reasoning or your own standard, but by the standard of Holy Spirit. And that's one that searches the heart. So we can't just see unless we see in the spirit realm. And so often we see with the natural and we run with it, which is not a good thing to do. So I really thank you for that, that observation of the fact that it is a spirit of discernment. And that's something that in these days, these times, we need that spirit, because other than that, the very elect can be deceived, but not if we have that discerning heart, that heart that discerns not for judgment, you know, and not for condemnation, but for identification, so that we don't start, you know, and we do sometimes. We pray against the people of God because we didn't have the wisdom to know that it was God. We just didn't like the way it was physically and naturally. And so that became a concern for us on a spiritual level, what we saw naturally. But we have to have the discernment that God will bring, that only Holy Spirit can bring through that wisdom. So I'm really, really excited about this next chapter. I'm excited about the whole book. Let's just be for real, okay? But I do encourage you to, you know, take notes, jot down insights that Holy Spirit gives you while you're reading, circle words that he make you go back to, and start to just surrender the book into your heart. You know, surrender the teaching, because Holy Spirit inspired this book. And so we want that Holy Spirit inspiration, okay, to bloom or to bubble forth in our life and in our understanding. Anybody else? Powerful time of fellowship. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Anybody else? This is your opportunity. Your opportunity.
Oh, excuse me, over here.
Yeah.
So what chapter are we? I'm so sorry. I forgot Christmas and it's darn on me late today, New Year's. But what chapter are we going to be in next week?
We're going to be in chapter 9.
Chapter 9. Okay.
Chapter 9. Yes. The Spirit of Wisdom, Part 1. Amen.
Okay.
The Spirit of Wisdom, Part 1. Amen. And then there'll be a part 2. I love it. All right. Thank all of you for joining us. Very, very, very blessed New Year.
Yeah.
And we thank all of those that are sharing with us today, our young and our old, y'all know who I'm talking about. Love, love, love you all.
And look forward let me say one
yes, ma'am.
Be brief. Because I know the writer, Keith Miller, he got a lot from Benny Hinn. And I used to be with Benny Hinn, right? Just like we're on the phone, whenever he came to Chicago. And I knew that was anointing, but as you were saying today, the heart has to be right and the heart has to be sincere. And even though, you know, we can believe in our knowledge, our minute form of knowledge, you know, we won't see the manifestation of God's work until we surrender totally over to him. And I thank God because it's in his timing. And I believe someone was saying that we can't hurry God. We can't rush God. God knows when our hearts have been purified for his glory. So I just wanted to say that also. And like you say, we don't have to be worrying about when. We just rest. So the spirit of the Lord will rest upon us. And sometimes you might have to get seasoned in order to get that rest. But, you know, if you can get it in your youth, if you can do it in your youth, then hallelujah.
That's all
the Lord say it. So I'm trying to obey and say when I hear him say talk.
Amen. Absolutely. It's interesting because the book that I had first considered was Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. That book woke me up to the person of the Holy Spirit. I love the teaching of God with all of his men and women of God. And I really feel like we need to lift them up in prayer and lift up those that have the books in them, but they're not doing it for a variety of reasons, and most rejected fear and that sort of thing. And we need to break that off of them so that they can birth these kinds of powerful books that will change generations. A lot of the books we read from what's his name, Elder Deborah
Murray, Andrew Murray.
They're over 100 years old, and yet they're so powerful right now in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I wonder, did he know that? You know, did he know he was writing to the 21st century when he wrote those books in that early English style language, and yet even bringing it into the 21st century, it's even more sacred because it is in that language. So you know that it has stood, someone else has said, it has stood the test of time. It has been tried and found to be true and found to be indestructible. Because there's a lot of books that was written in 18 whatever, whatever. They do not exist today, okay? And definitely not on a do y'all want to read it list, okay? So we do. Let's pray for the writers and the scribes and those that have books in them. I believe that's no. Hallelujah. Okay, sorry.
Hallelujah.
I lost my train of thought. But anyway, Happy New Year.
Let us know.
Okay. I'm easy to be
just famous.
Enjoy.
I love you.
Yes. Love you all. Enjoy your day. Definitely establish a special time in your life in this year for God. Absolutely. A special time that's non-compromisable. You don't change it for nothing. Okay? Praise God.
Amen.
All right, now, we got a meeting tomorrow. We got Sunday worship service. Okay, we don't have a meeting tomorrow. I know a lot of stuff going on. You got to watch your announcements. The announcements are out. Elder Sharita, God bless her, God bless her, God bless her, has released the opportunities for the month of January. They are many. So save your date and move some stuff around and make room and way for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Year. And Happy New You. Happy New You.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Happy New. Hey, Happy New Us. Not just me too. Okay.
Amen.
All right. All right. Amen.
Amen.